The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I got to be honest with you, BT. We'll get back to the Giants calls here in a second. Yeah. I am, and very rare that I am extremely jealous of something. We were just listening, or I was just listening during the break, because Jerry was talking to us about something. C-Mac doing the overnight show.
Love C-Mac. Big Yankee guy. Right. Big Yankee apologist. I mean, Yankee fan.
Yeah, I love C-Mac as well. So he's doing the overnight show, you know, something that I did before C-Mac. I don't even remember how long I did it, maybe a year and a half, whatever it may be.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry Seinfeld calls C-Mac last night, calls him saying, on the overnight show, I'm a big fan of the show. And I never got a call from Jerry.
Maybe he wasn't a big fan of the show.
I know, and that hurts me. Wow. You might be right. And then I start thinking, here's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah. I see the headline, Jerry Seinfeld calls into C-Mac, and I'm
That's awesome.
What? It is awesome. It's great for the station. It's great for C-Mac. But I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't jealous. And then the jealousy turns into insecurity. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Does Jerry not like me? He could have called in any of the overnights ever that I was on. He never calls in ever for me. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, whatever. And I guess Rosie said something. Rosie, the producer, said something.
What? Dove just said he's afraid of being yelled at.
Yeah, well, call right. So that's, Dove, you're right. Like, that's my...
That's good, Dove.
So my insecurity kicks in. I'm like, am I too mean?
Sometimes.
Does Jerry not like when I yell at callers?
Sometimes.
Should I not have the strong opinion?
No, you got to have the strong opinion. That's what makes you you. Now,
so
listen,
hold on, though.
Yeah. You had the overnights for how long?
Like a year and a half, I think.
Maybe he was out west shooting something. Honestly, maybe he wasn't here.
Am I wrong to feel like I'm happy for C-Mac at the station?
Just to clarify, yes. It wasn't overnight. C-Mac was filling in 7 to midnight. So.
Oh, that's a big difference.
It's a different story. Okay, the jealousy is less now because Jerry does listen on the evenings, obviously.
So he was in for Keith. So C-Mac was in for Keith, and they go, okay.
Okay.
So that makes you feel better.
Yeah, it does make me feel better.
Interesting. Interesting.
Retract everything I just said. I was wondering why. It's not me. It can't be me. Jerry must be a fan. No, I'm a huge fan of Jerry, and I remember, I used to produce Summers. He came once to the old Astoria studios.
Okay.
Steve had Jerry in studio, and I'll never forget, Jerry Seinfeld, major.
Oh, my God, all time.
Yeah. Jeez. And for somebody like me, I was like, oh, my God. And he went around, Jerry, and shook and looked in everybody's eye and shook the hands of everybody who was in that. Like, I think I might have been an intern. I might have been producer part, whatever, tape op intern, but I was... nobody at the time. Uh-huh. He went around, shook everybody's hand, made eye contact. Oh, hi, Mad Dog. Like, he saw all of them. He couldn't have been nicer. He was good friends with Steve. It's awesome to know that he's a New York sports fan.
A huge New York guy.
Yeah, so I'm jealous of C-Mac. That's good for him, but I thought it was the overnight, so it was really going to piss me off.
Sal, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Sal, when he was walking around shaking everyone's hand, did he make any funny jokes at all? Or
no, he was good.
Oh, shocker.
Why? What makes you say that?
What? Well, come on, Hop. Will you start dissing him now?
You're not going to rip Seinfeld. Get out of here.
I'm not going to rip him, but I will say,
you're not a Seinfeld fan?
I didn't say that. Hold on. First of all, I respect that he's actually one of the few still willing to have a little fun with comedy and not acquiesce to, you can't tell joke. Like,
right.
I think he's brilliant. Pertaining to the, and I think he's a great guy.
Yes.
Pertaining to the show.
And a legit sports fan, by the way.
No doubt about it. Not a guy who just gets good seats and shows up and sucks down popcorn for the camera.
Promote something.
He lives and dies with the Mets. Yes. He loves them, right? And I respect that. I know, I get that. The thing about the show, all right, so when the show was on, I was still in college.
Okay.
And, you know, we'd sit around, we'd knock a few back before we'd go out to the bar, and, like, a lot of the guys that I lived with loved it. I was bored by it. I'm getting to a better place. It's not a diss on Seinfeld. Okay. I thought it was so boring, and it just wasn't my energy. It wasn't my speed. It wasn't my comedy. As I got older, okay, I definitely appreciate and still do the nuance of the comedy.
Yeah.
This is not a knock at Seinfeld. This is just my reality. Without Kramer, without Elaine, without Jason Alexander. You want to throw Newman in there? Not for me. He was a pain in the ass. I couldn't stand Newman. But those three that I mentioned, like, to me, they made the show more than Seinfeld.
But that's like saying, yeah, well, without Pippin.
But it was called Seinfeld.
Well, he was the star of the show. But
was he?
Yes,
I don't know that he was. Well, I know that literally he was.
Without him, now I'm not saying that the others weren't great because they were, but without him.
Come on, Kramer kicking doors open and just sliding in like a lunatic.
Jerry's the glue. He's the point guard. He was the leader.
Yeah, and, you know, Kramer was Jordan and Elaine was, Magic. And Jason Alexander was Bird.
It's honestly one of the things that my wife is lucky that she passed the test. Like, it's a prerequisite for me to be able to date me. If you were, whether you like Seinfeld or not, to me, would show you something about who you are as a person.
Really?
And my wife gets the benefit of doubt because she, didn't grow up in the American culture. Not
understood. So it seems to think that you, maybe Hoff and I have character flaws in
your
estimation.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is true.
Well, let's flush it out. Hop on in here, buddy.
To your credit, you said it wasn't your thing, but you've evolved.
I do. Like, if it's on now, I will keep it on. Back in the day, I wouldn't even watch.
Understood. Well, back in the day, maybe you and I wouldn't have been.
Back in the day, I was getting ready to go out and do some real stuff, not just sit around watching.
You're right. And I was the kid who stayed home and watched Seinfeld with my parents. Hop, you don't like Seinfeld?
No. And I'll tell you this, it's boring because it was basically like watching my own life. Like, why do I care? Like, I don't laugh at myself. Why am I going to sit there and watch a show that's... It was relatable. I got the jokes. I got the humor.
Yeah.
It just
didn't... Do you watch comedy movies or no?
I watch everything.
Oh, no, you watch horror stories.
Well, he's a big horror guy.
No, but I watch comedy.
Well, who's your comedies? Where are we at with the comedies?
I think a better question, Hot May. Give me your three best sitcoms of all time. Rather than like comedies and movies and mixing, or at least, your top two, or just your favorite.
All right.
Like, just to get a sense of what you love.
I'm a Scrubs guy. I did like Friends for like a half a second, but
I love
not
Friends.
But I'm not on board with that.
I like Friends too, but that's like the amateur.
When Jennifer Aniston dyed her hair and cut it after season one,
But Friends is like the amateur version of Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'll hang out with that crew. Yeah.
Two guys are going to a pizza place. Do you know that show?
What?
Reynolds. What's his name? The guy, Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds. That's where he started.
I saw him down the street the other day.
Yes.
Yeah, you see him a lot walking around, right?
I saw him once.
And his wife. They kids go to school around here.
Who else did we see? Did we see Tobey Maguire? We saw Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Hoff and I saw Harry Potter, next day I'm walking down the street and I see Ryan Reynolds. I was like, wow, it's just so weird.
Something else I have no interest in. Harry Potter.
Come on! Couldn't what do you mean you don't like Harry Potter?
You couldn't pay me to watch or read Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
It was good. I'd be honest with you. I wasn't into it either. Like, I wouldn't read them. But I watched it during the pandemic. I was like, let me see what this is about. Yep. I enjoyed it.
Well, because you probably watched everything else. There was nothing else on during the pandemic.
It was a nice escape.
We were waiting for Jordan's documentary to drop, so we had something.
I'm going
to
go back and rewatch Seinfeld in sequence again.
Oh, come on. How many seasons were there? Eight, nine?
Here's
seven?
Why I love it.
A ton.
I think eight. Here's why I love it. I could put that on, doesn't matter what time of day, what time of night, what episode it is, and it makes me happy.
Well, then I'm not trying to strip away your joy.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's great.
I love it.
Doesn't make me that happy. A little chuckle.
Maybe
little
you should try it.
I have.
It's funny because I could watch Curb all day.
Curb's great. Curb's so much fun.
I like Curb too, but come on.
It's so much fun. Come on.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is a...
It's not a better show than Seinfeld.
And to be honest with you, anything with a laugh track turns me off to begin with anyway.
It's a sitcom!
I don't want to be told when to laugh. I know when to laugh. Don't tell me when to laugh.
BT and Sal on the fan. I was just listening. So basically, before we get back to the giant calls, 888-808-1019, I guess McMonagle was talking about something. Rosie, his producer, Paul Rosenberg, came on the air and said something like, there's only been three good episodes in Seinfeld. So when Jerry came on, he said, yeah, we're like the Giants. We're 3-177 or whatever it was because they had 180 episodes.
What were they really talking about? Like sports or the show? Whether or not it was good or bad.
I didn't hear it. We only had a couple of minutes to listen to it. Justin is calling from Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Justin?
Hey, bud.
What's going on, guys? I know Dable's going to come out, and he came out before in the past. I can say, Daniel Jones gives us the best chance to win. The best chance to win with two wins, six, six games without any touchdown passes. I mean, what did Shane do for the backups here? A backup can't win two games here. You know, Tommy DeVito or
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock can't win two games. Let's see what they have. Let's see either. I think they're afraid to put somebody in because either they're going to look either 10 times better than Jones or they'll look terrible and they'll say, what is Dable doing?
Hold on. If it's the former and they're a little reluctant to put somebody else in because they think that they're going to look a lot better than Daniel Jones, then that is just that's an egregious move. I don't believe that's the case.
Not that
better,
can't be.
They're afraid they're going to lose a draft stock at this point.
Nah,
whatever.
I don't think so.
I mean, one thing he kept saying repeatedly, Justin, was that it's going to be a football decision. So how much you want to believe that?
I don't believe that at all.
I do believe it because of the conviction that he said it with. By the way, like you could say, and thank you for the call, Justin, you could say that Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win. You could also say that maybe somebody else does because they aren't winning with Daniel Jones. If he gives them the best chance to win, what's that saying? They're 2-8, they lose every game. This guy can't make a throw. I don't think the other guys are any good. I'd rather watch DeVito just because of the...
Me too.
The entertainment value there and the unknown. We always say the same thing, like, they know because they're watching it in practice. They see it. It doesn't mean that they're always right, but they know. We don't really know about DeVito because we've seen it in spurts, and what we saw last year was better than Daniel Jones. It was at least entertaining coming from a guy who came out of nowhere, a local guy, the hand gesture, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, if he's from Alabama, is it as interesting?
No,
Not really.
I don't get into the antics of things, but I thought DeVito looked good.
He looked
at
okay.
Times last
he
year.
He had command and he was tough and he's an athlete. No, I would like to see much more of Tommy DeVito because, you know, we certainly know who Jones is. We know who Drew Lock is. He's going to be 29 next season. And you know, Tommy DeVito, there's still a fair amount of unknown. I mean, again, it's tough to really gauge who Andrew Thomas is out, and you know right. They're probably gonna be running for his life. But I don't know. Does he have some sort of? He's also been in the system now for a second year. Maybe he's mastered it more. Maybe he's just listen.
You know
he's
what
not,
he's got?
He's not gonna show up and be like immeasurably better, but he might be good enough to validate him having as the backup next year.
And you know what he's got that I like watching?
He's got stones.
Correct.
Got stones.
He's got confidence.
From Jersey,
he's got
dude.
Stones.
That's not a surprise.
But that means something.
I know.
Because I'm not saying Jones isn't tough because Daniel Jones is tough. One of his greatest attributes is his toughness. But there's a difference between stones / toughness / confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy DeVito plays with confidence. And that is something that Daniel Jones does not do. And it's infuriating to watch, especially for a guy that has the ability with the arm strength or the physical nature to run the football. I want to see some confidence.
I'm laughing because something I meant to say this before. I heard what you said, too. I got you. And I'm on the same page with DeVito. I would rather sit down and watch an all-day marathon. You ready?
Of?
This is going to blow your mind, dude. Of 90210.
Get the hell out of here.
Then Seinfeld.
Trust me.
Absolutely.
When was the last time you watched an episode of 90210?
You don't want to know.
You watch it recently?
Not an episode, but a little YouTube rabbit hole. Well, after Shannon Doherty passed away, you wind up doing, you know, and then...
And why? You're searching Jenny Garth? I already know.
That's the first search
all right,
on the show.
But do you want to watch...
Vanessa Masil? There's other searches.
Yeah. Would you rather watch attractive women or a great show?
There were no attractive women on Seinfeld.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Elaine's all right. She was pretty.
See, this is my issue with you fundamentally.
No, she was pretty. Jenny Garth was hot. There's a difference.
Yeah, I'd rather be with Elaine all day
long.
Her personality takes her up to a 10 beyond that.
Be my guest. I'll take my chances
with Jenny.
You could
have Jenny Garth. You'd be bored in 5 minutes.
I don't think I'd be bored. She might be cheating on me. She might be doing coke. She had a rough run there for a while, but I don't think I'd be bored with her.
I
can promise you that.
Back in the day, I watched 90210.
I love that show. I own it.
Not that I'm like grown up to full adult yet, even at 45, but I can't watch it.
Loved it.
Yeah, I used to love He-Man, too, but you put that on now, and it's like, well, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, Hulk Hogan's Rocket Wrestling.
What about G.I. Joe?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I used to watch these shows, and then you put it on, it's like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, those are cartoons, dude. Come on,
well, 90210 is not far off. Come on. The acting is awful. Speaking of which, Scott is calling from the Jersey Shore. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Scotty.
Good, Scott.
What's up, dude?
Earlier, you guys were talking about there's nothing to be excited about the rest of the season, and I'm a half-full glass kind of guy. Put DeVito in. Let's see what these young skill players can do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got three receivers, a tight end, and a running back. They're all under 25. Put in Locke. Put in DeVito. Let them sling the ball. See what these kids can do.
Yep, Theo Johnson. Yep, I agree.
Well, they're going to. It's just a matter of which one. And thank you for the call. We appreciate taking the time, Scott. It's just a matter of which quarterback. I want to see what DeVito could do with this group around him. More talented players than what we saw a year ago.
Me too. But it shouldn't just be, and I know you're not basing it just on this, but I think some people, obviously, most people gravitate to this. It shouldn't just be that he's from Cedar Grove. I know. It should be who's got a better chance to be on the roster next year. And I don't know, I'm not saying that there aren't examples. Rich Gannon, he was on with Boomer and Gio this morning, and Rich is actually a great example of a guy who had a very pedestrian and very transient, meaning he bounced around early from the Chiefs to this team, the Vikings, all over, and he won the MVP at the age of 37, 38 with Gruden and the Raiders in the early 2000s. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't reclamation projects, and who knows, maybe Drew Lock becomes that in a couple of years, but I don't think he will. I've formulated my opinion on Drew, so let me and others formulate our final opinion on Tommy DeVito.
Right, but, get some answers. But maybe the Giants haven't formulated their opinion on Drew Lock.
No, that's fair. That's
maybe
fair.
They think that. I mean,
that's fair. I'm going to leave the door open to that. That's true.
DeVito's the third stringer, so it was a fun show. It's more entertaining. You know, Drew Lock, we kind of feel like,
we know do. What he is. I don't feel very
and
inspired
even if
by
even
Drew
if
Lock.
Even if he's good, it's boring. Nobody cares. All right, Drew Lock completes a couple of passes. Giants score some touchdowns. They win. Great. So they get to 5 wins on the year. When if DeVito does it, there's excitement about what could be from an unknown, not just because he's local, but because of all the intangibles that he brings. Sure. Matt is calling from Hillsborough, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
Hey, boys. Love you guys. Look what the Jets and Giants have created. We can't discuss any meaningful football. So we're discussing the hotness of Elaine Bettis from Seinfeld. And then what about women on Seinfeld? Look at all of Jerry's girlfriends
that
cameoed through.
Yeah, the cameos were. He was pretty good with the cameos.
That's
I'll
an
give
excellent
you that. That
point.
Is true.
If you wanted some of that, you got that in Seinfeld every step of the way.
Not as good as Dylan McKay's list. But anyway, it's almost comparable to Jeter's list. Now keep it moving, Matty.
I like the brunettes myself. But anyway, go ahead, man.
And by the way, the next time the Jets win a game, we'll be discussing the Yankees and Mets playoff possibilities in September.
Yeah. God. Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to be, it's more about.
Did you find that funny?
And thanks for the callback.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's more.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's
you guys.
Oh my God. Yeah,
I mean, these teams suck. We gotta entertain ourselves here.
Oh, I get it. Right, it's more about Juan Soto and the sweepstakes and Pete Alonso and what the Mets and Yanks are gonna do,
and Jenny Garth and Elaine.
Yeah, at this point. Well, I mean, it's
she
something
still
you said
good.
About that.
She still looks very
Jenny
good.
Garth.
Yes,
I have not looked her
very
up in
good.
A long time.
Does she play football?
Why are you asking that?
I mean, maybe that'd be a good combo.
Oh, maybe she.
What? He's such a weirdo, all right, man. You really are.
Let's take a break. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So we mentioned, we'll get back to the Giant calls here in a second. And unfortunately, we're not going to have Illuminor today. He had some kind of event, so he's going to do it tomorrow. Hoff, right? Tomorrow we can promote that Illuminor is going to be on?
Yes, tomorrow.
Okay, so he should be with us tomorrow. Not today. That'll be fun to talk to him. And then, you know, see what happens there, obviously, next week with the bye week. But anyway, BT, we mentioned the Gruden aspect. Giannotti brought this up weeks ago. It's some a name that, honestly, I didn't even think about, but it's the perfect fit. And then Boomer today confirmed the interest that Gruden would have in returning to be a head coach in the NFL. Not a shock, but Boomer at least confirmed that. And the more important part to this was that Boomer said that teams have shown interest in Gruden. Now, he didn't say what teams, but if teams are interested and Gruden is interested, to me, there is no excuse why Woody Johnson should not do whatever it takes to get John Gruden to be the head coach of the NY Jets.
Top of the list. I'm interested. When you look at the names that I think will either be recycled or thoroughly looked at, you know, Rex's name is going to be up there. Not interested. I'll take Gruden over Rex every day. I am still interested.
Well, Gruden's a real head coach.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think Rex is...
Right.
I don't think he's adaptable to the new NFL. I just don't think. He inherited a good roster. Remember, that was Mancini's team.
Correct.
And did nothing once those guys phased out. It got ugly. He's on TV. He's good. I don't need Rex coaching the Jets.
I will say that I wanted Rex this year before that Texan game. Instead of Ulbrich, to me, the move would have been bringing in Rex, really shake things up. But beyond that, if you're looking to lay the foundation and start to build a program, he's clearly not the guy.
Not going for him at all. Now, I can't speak to what Woody's going to be interested in. Maybe familiarity's a real asset in this equation. Does he have the appetite, whether it's the Jets or other teams in the NFL, to allow, you know, to bring John Gruden back in? Those emails were ugly, man. Now, I know he's not banned from the NFL, so you literally can hire him, but I think it's, you know, each situation, each market, each owner's tolerance, whatever it might be. I don't think it's a layup that, oh, you know, nine teams are going to be knocking down John Gruden's door. I would definitely make the call. I would hire him. But, you know, Vrabel's got to be on that list. I would still call Belichick just to hear him say no. So I have to live with that question the rest of my life.
He wouldn't just say no.
Yeah, he'd say a whole lot more. Yeah. He'd say, he wouldn't just say no. You're right.
I would not hear that.
Oh, God. Now, let's just investigate this. Because when the next coach of the Jets, what are the top three things we're looking for? That's a fairly basic question, but let's get a little more
experience.
Detail. Yeah, I would experiences on there, presence.
Yeah,
and like presence / discipline. How about that?
I mean, command. Somebody. I guess for me, if you ask me, what I'm looking for is somebody who has been a proven program builder. It doesn't mean you have to have won a Super Bowl, and in this case, obviously, you have one with Gruden. But it doesn't mean you have to have won a Super Bowl, but a proven program builder, a no nonsense leader of a team and the face of an organization. And I think John Gruden can be that for the Jets. It's what they desperately need.
I think so, too. You know, his run with Tampa was, I think, a little bit overstated. He had a lot of down seasons, man. And the one year that he had a nice up season, which I think was 05, was followed by a couple of years where it went really strongly in the wrong direction. I know he's a film head. I know he evaluates all these quarterbacks. Now, you want to talk about whether it's McShay's report. How many times have, and I know you've watched it as well, when he was doing the show on ESPN, John Gruden sitting there splicing up film and, you know, peppering these young quarterback prospects with questions and having them go up on the grease board. And, you know, John Gruden was off a ton in his assessments of quarterbacks. Like, he's telling us, I remember many times, like, this guy's can't miss and he was a scrub. Now he also hit, but I don't think that his quarterback record is flawless. I mean, nobody's as flawless, but I think it's a little overstated. So I don't think he's a home run. I'm going to say that he's not a home run. What are you looking at?
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I'm
that's okay.
Yeah, Alyssa Milano there is on the screen there, I guess. Mm. Well, see, I don't think it's a home run either, BT.
I told you about the time I met her in the green room at SNY.
No, Alyssa Milano?
Yeah. Yeah.
And?
Not much.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I still had game at
whatever.
That point.
Why
I was kind of young.
Even on in here? Sorry, I got distracted.
That's charmed, right? I was young.
I wasn't trying to bring it on the air. That was me, like, trying to show you, like, without saying it. I was still listening to what you were saying about
her.
I don't think it's a home run either, because as like, we think this out, is it the perfect, ideal hire?
No.
No, but it's the best option, and he checks a lot of the boxes that I would want. Proven winner before, no-nonsense guy, can be the face of the franchise, in control. Like, when Gruden walks in your building,
yeah,
there is no deciphering who's in charge.
I agree.
He's the guy.
He's also proven that he's really good with veteran quarterbacks. Rich Gannon, who won the MVP at the age of 37.
The offense with Rodgers. So it's a good fit with Rodgers here, but also I also trust Gruden to build it beyond just that. Like, I'm looking, if I'm the Jets, I am looking to build a foundation once and for all.
Be nice.
Gruden is the guy that can do that. Now, maybe you could have a nice little combination of both where you build the foundation and have some success with the veteran quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and all the talent that they have this year. Like, this team is screaming for a legitimate head coach. Gruden may be the best that's available. Let's see it. And then even if it doesn't work out in the short term as far as, like, getting to the Super Bowl, whatever it may be, you hope that he builds the foundation of a successful football team over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have amazing confidence that he would, because his resume is good, but it's spotty enough where I don't know that it's an absolute home run. It's guaranteed a solid double in the gap or off the wall, possibly a triple, and possibly a home run. It's not going to be a pop-up, you know, with the bases juiced and one out into the infield. Like, it's not going to be that, because he's too... And, you know, Ben Johnson, others, that could be great or could completely flame out. I
can't do that again.
You can't, Sal. And it's not exactly the same, but I'm going to give you... I'm going to use a word, and I'm going to bring up a situation that I thought was very important. When Steve Cohen bought the Mets... Now, the influx of money, the exact opposite of the Wilpons, like, the Met fan was beaten down. They were angry. They were also, in spurts, apathetic, a little bit of everything. They were galvanized by that move because they were like, oh, the prospects of what this guy could represent. Mm-hmm. I do think that the Jet fan right now is at a point where they need to pick me up. Now, you don't do it. You don't hire John Gruden just because he wins the press conference and that Jet fan feels good about themselves for a day. This is, to your point about building something sustainable, which I think he could do, but I know the moment that he shows up, if he's rocking a green tie with that scowl and, you know, just John Gruden being John Gruden, everybody's pumped up to win.
Plus, he's hungry and motivated to prove people wrong. Tony is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, brothers? I know you guys kind of segued already off to Seinfeld, but I did want to just add in two quick points. One, Jerry's list of girlfriends by far surpasses the other list that BT was saying.
There you go, Tony. There you go.
You know what that's called, buddy? It's called an opinion. Let's hear your next one.
Yeah. I'm sharing mine.
I got you.
The second thing.
I got you.
The second thing I want to say is what makes Seinfeld so great is that every single day I encounter something, mm-hmm. and I go, there's an episode of Seinfeld about this.
Right, it's real life.
Every single day. And you can't say that with 90210.
Nothing
you said about any episode.
You couldn't get a bigger bubble than 90210. You mean what, a bunch of hedge fund kids who were given millions the day that they were born? And who relates to that? I got you.
It's a nice dream.
Yes.
The second thing was I wanted to say is, Vic, everybody's killing Shane for his presser yesterday. And the issue I have is, what did people want him to do? Did they really want him to throw the quarterback under the bus?
No,
but
it's not. He could have taken accountability and said, you know what?
But then that's admitting that they made a mistake. And I agree with you. Before you kill me, I agree with you that he could come out and go, listen, after the 22 season, we gave this kid a lot of money. It was a mistake. We shouldn't have done it.
But Tony,
they lose credibility.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that specifically, Tony, and thank you for the call. I'm not talking about putting Daniel Jones under the bus specifically. I'm talking about overall. He was defensive. Joe Shane was defensive and was making excuses where, you know, in one possession games, this and that, this is our record. Dude, that may be true. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody. So while you can certainly throw out certain metrics that maybe make it seem like it's not as bad as it is, and I don't think it's as, like I keep saying all year long, they're not as bad as their record. However, it's now 10 weeks, and they're 2-8. And the games, while some of them may be competitive, they just don't score the football the way that other teams in the NFL, even the bad teams, do. So it's impossible to watch. And Joe Shane sat there yesterday and made excuse after excuse instead of just saying, Look, here's the bottom line. I could give you the stats. I could give you the numbers. I believe we're better than what this record shows. Now it's time for us to start showing it. Whether it's starting after our bye week or into next year, we've got to be better. And I will make sure that as long as I'm here, that this thing gets turned around, because I don't like the record. Our coach doesn't like the record. Our fans doesn't like the record. Nobody likes where we're at right now. And it's on me to fix it. And I will.
Well, maybe you should be the GM. That was pretty good.
Yeah, really?
I mean, that was good. That was a believable performance. I think Giant fans would rally behind that. You're not wrong. But the difference here, let me ask you a question. So when Dable was hired, we thought the what would eventually be really good. The what part of the team? When
the offense, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
right,
they're dead last in points per game.
I know.
I mean, not 12th or 17th or 20th. They're dead last.
Yeah, and his offense, while I like it because I'm more of a conservative coach, you know, move the chains, drive the football, run the clock. Like, those passes got to be completed from Daniel Jones, and it'll make things look better. But it's not like this innovative, exciting,
no,
open offense. It's
no.
Not. Now, I don't care about that because I think his offense can win games with a real quarterback.
Well, what was his offense? Was it some innovative concepts, or was it Josh Allen beat a stud?
Well, but
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I think
could be both.
I think you need a quarterback. John is calling. Wait, they don't have one. John is on Long Island. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, John?
Just appreciate you taking the call. I'll start off first by saying that I am a huge Jet fan, right? So, you know, with the conversation about Rex and Gruden, you know, I think what we're not seeing here, though, is, you know, with the state of the Jets, we may not have a choice, right? Like Ben Johnson, Vrabel, all these other great names, great, you know, coordinators. First off, I don't think we should be taking that chance on a coordinator. But second, right now, we stink, right? We are such a poorly coached team that we may not have an option. So we may need someone who's desperate like Rex or like Gruden. I don't think Rex is the answer, but maybe for what we need for the next 2-3 years is someone like Rex.
No.
Mix it up? No?
Nah, not
Rex. I think Gruden would be great.
Yeah.
I think Gruden would be great. But he may not want to come here. Right? Who realistically wants to come to New York with the state that we're in?
Well, Gruden is desperate, and that's why it's a good match, John, and thank you for the goal. Like, you have no shot at Ben Johnson. There's zero shot. Now, that doesn't mean that Ben Johnson's the savior and the answer, but he's going to be the hottest commodity, clearly, if you're looking for an offensive coordinator, as he was a year ago, turning down certain jobs, in Washington job in particular. You have no shot at him. You might have a shot, I would think, at Gruden, because he's desperate to get back in, and I don't know the other teams that are interested, but this is still New York, and they do have Aaron Rodgers in place, and you have an owner that's going to be willing to spend. Like, maybe it is an appealing situation for Gruden, maybe for Cliff Kingsbury, who's trying to get back on. Like, there are going to be options for the Jets. It's not just going to be bottom of the barrel, and I certainly think you'll have better options than bringing back Rex.
Oh, my God. You know, if I mean, our tolerance is quite high based on what we've been through, but if it's Rex and he's just a caricature of himself and half a goof, I have no interest in watching Rex. You know, that's over. Stay on TV, man.
It would be entertaining.
It's over.
Though.
Not for me. It wouldn't be. Not if you're a fan of the team. Maybe from an outsider. I'm not saying there wouldn't be a lot of talking points. I get that. Number one, do I think Rex would truly elevate the program?
The defense would be better than what
I know
is.
The defense would be better. What would he do for the offense? The answer would be nothing. So until the offense becomes modern and effective and explosive, I'm not interested. Gruden can do that. Rex cannot. Zero interest in Rex.
He does have Rodgers and some weapons
Fantastic.
That he never had when he was here the first
not
time.
Not interested, Sal. Can't do it. I think that is a loser move. It's one thing to recycle, like, a stud.
How do you think he'd handle?
Rex is half a goof at this point.
He just is. How do you think he handles Sauce Gardner?
You know, I get it, unless he shoves steak down his throat and three protein shakes
might.
A day, it doesn't matter.
Let's go get a GD snack.
That's right, let's get a snack.
ET and Sal, the family.
That's right.
Come back. We'll have a little 3-yard queue, as well as your calls, 888-808-1019.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, here we go, BT, a little 3-yard queue. Number one for you. Do you tip on orders that you go pick up?
Do I tip on orders that I go pick up?
Like, a lot of these places now, I was finding, like, the sushi spot that I go to, I have to order it on the website, and then I go pick it up, and it gives you the option. And it's not just that spot. Like, every you know, you go in and says, oh, what do you want to leave for tip?
Or, yeah.
And I feel guilty myself.
But. Listen, I'm a good tipper. I always go 20% unless you're just horrendous. Then I would never not give you anything. But if you're horrendous, maybe I'll take it off 20. But I'm a good tipper. I don't pick up a lot of food, quite frankly. Like, we'll do pizza once a week.
Yeah.
And obviously you're tipping him out. We'll do sushi once a week. And we're tipping him out.
But
if I go to pick it up,
go there to the restaurant?
No, I'm saying, meaning order it and they bring it to us, tip. That's
right,
a given.
Delivery guy, yeah. Delivery. Now, you tip 20% on a delivery guy?
I'll just make a quick, like, if save the pizzas.
$10, whatever.
Yeah, I'll always give him some decent cash.
I mean, but, I don't know I was told it was supposed to be 20%, and now I think it's even
before
more than
the tax, 20%.
Like, if you want to be a good tipper now, I think it's going to be over 20%.
Well, who the hell said that? I'm not doing that.
I think 20% is, you know, like bare minimum standard.
That's not true. There's no way.
I usually go like 25%.
What?
Yeah.
I don't feel compelled to do that. Now,
if they're good, especially. If they're not good, I'll go 20% out of like obligation. I can't do less than that.
Unless they forget about me or just straight up rude, which almost never happens,
right.
Then you might get a little bit below 20. There's no need to go above 20%.
Yeah.
25%?
Yeah, I think so.
No way. That's not the new rule.
If you
want to
be a good tipper and you
want
to be nice. Oh, yeah, BT and Sal came in here, and they only left 20%. The losers looking at it like, figure tax.
You're tapping to something interesting. Like, a lot of times I'll just round it up, and I won't say I've got to do more than 20%. If it's more, I don't mind. Like, I just do it kind of quick and all.
Right.
But I do say to myself sometimes, like, all right, especially the person knew me.
Oh, then it's you definitely. Yeah,
I do calculate that. That's right. Funny.
So if I am picking up an order, though,
yes,
I do not.
I don't.
Yeah, like I feel guilty, but that's not like the point of the tip is to you to serve, not to make the food. Like that's a given.
Yeah, that's your
going
job.
Going into our deal, when I called you to place this order, you're supposed to make the food.
Correct.
That's not like
that's the arrangement. I order, you cook, I eat.
Yeah, you put it in a bag, I come and pick it up, I go home. I'm not going to leave a tip.
Yeah, no.
But
I'll tell you what, Sal.
They do it at the stadiums now too, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. These people, a lot of these businesses, and I don't fault the employee. Well, I mean, they're just trying to hustle, and I respect that. But they become very brazen with like what they expect. If you go to a bagel. Store.
Yeah.
I don't know. A coffee and why am I tipping you?
I don't know.
Why? Now, if you wash my car, you get your hustle out, I'll tip you. But no, I'm not tipping you for doing what's required.
All right.
That actually bothers me.
Number two, do you still watch game shows?
I don't seek them out, but I love them as a kid. And if I stumble upon one, I will watch it all day. I love them.
Okay.
I can talk about this for an hour.
So I bring this up because now as a kid, yes.
Oh, God.
I remember staying
them.
Home from school sick.
Yeah.
Watching The Price is Right with my grandfather.
Family Feud was on a lot back then.
Shows.
Yep, yep.
And even at night, like the, you know, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. But Wheel of Fortune, and I know digitally on social media, it could be a thing. Did you see the latest one with this dude, Will, the other day?
I saw something.
Treat yourself to some sausage or whatever it was.
No, you have to fill me in. I saw that something happened, and I really didn't follow up. I sensed it was something sexual. What was it about?
There's been a few of them, but that one, yes, was outrageous.
It was clearly the puzzle wasn't spelled out, but it was you could see it. Anybody with a, you know,
the last word started with an A, and he still says, treat yourself to some sausage.
Right. It was supposed to be give yourself a round of applause was the puzzle, and you could clearly see that that's what it was.
Just need a few vowels.
And he looked at it and goes, treat yourself to a round of sausage.
What?
It was the worst guess possible, but funny. And anyway, aside from the actual hilarity of the clip, and you got to see it, I started to think, like, who's watching Wheel of Fortune?
I record it every single night. I do. No, I do because I do it with my kids. I initially started to, I'm a word guy, I'm not a math guy.
Yeah.
So this was my way when they were really young, at least put it on and, you know, start to work the vowels and the consonants and the flow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Now, I'm not saying I watch it every night, but it's recorded. And,
I am shocked by this.
Why? I'm a wordsmith. You shouldn't be shocked. That's what I do.
I guess, but give yourself a round of applause. What type of words are you learning from that?
Well, it's more about just the way the vowels fit with the consonants. And it's just it's tapping into your brain maybe a little quicker. And it's just my personal theory.
I feel like for me, it was a thing like
going to be Einstein's, but 20, it can't hurt.
Yeah, I get it. 20, 25 years ago. I didn't even know Seacrest was hosting. I saw him in this clip. Anyway, you watched Jeopardy too?
I did, but honestly, that's just over my head. I didn't know. Yeah. Unless it was sports, I had no chance.
Exactly. I never
maybe the occasional movie.
All right, last one. Off of the Seinfeld stuff, Seinfeld calling in the station last night with C-Mac is on. You lucky you know what, C-Mac? Name a TV show. As I said before, Seinfeld makes me happy. So yeah. Name a TV show that when you put on, it makes you happy no matter what.
I already said 90210, so I'll give you a different one, okay?
That makes you happy, though?
Yes, it does. It does. It does. Yeah. It brings me back to like me being young. You know, and in college, like, you know, just a couple traditions built around it. And, yeah, I don't know. I like it. I mean, stop probing, dude. Yeah. I'm not going to change my opinion.
Well, it's not a comedy. It doesn't make you laugh.
All right, I'll give you one that always makes me smile, and it really is. There is zero depth. It is incredibly predictable, and almost it's almost dumb at this point. But I loved it then, and I still appreciate it now. Three's Company.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Three's Company.
I used to love that show.
John Ritter was, I think.
Mr. Furley.
Oh, Mr. Furley. Well, you had the Roper, you had Furley, you know, then you had the spinoff with Three's a Crowd. And no, huge fan. And Suzanne Somers died. And Larry, who lived upstairs, you know, Jack's buddy, he's still alive.
That's
and Joyce
a funny
DeWitt's
show.
Still alive. Great, great, great.
Good show. I haven't seen
like
that
watching.
In years. Hoff, do you have one real quick? A TV show that makes you happy?
I feel like South Park makes you really happy.
All right, fair enough. There you go. Those are at least better answers than before, you guys.
I choked.
Well, you're talking about Friends.
Dude, it's
you're talking
subjective.
About 90210. No, it's not subjective. Nobody, but like 90210. Like, you know who watches 90210?
No, losers like me.
Evan.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Right, here's the difference, though. Evan watches it because he... I mean, Evan
there's
watches
not much of a difference.
No, the difference is Evan watched it because he can never do. I watch it just because I like it. It's a big difference.
I don't understand that.
He understands.
Which one do you think you are, Dylan or Brandon?
I've had sideburns for a couple years.
I was a Dylan guy.
No. I'm not saying I didn't look like any one of them. I didn't watch it for them. But I did enjoy their relationship.
But which one?
Who did I like better?
No.
Dylan, because Dylan got in trouble. Dylan was a more interesting character.
That was you.
A little bit. Brandon was too squeaky clean.
Who had a better off the screen life between all that cast? It was David. What was it? Austin Green.
Oh,
the guy that
yeah.
Brian
yeah.
Austin.
Oh, my God.
Well, not really, because Megan Fox kind of really
Tiffany
left
Amber
him bad.
Well.
So it depends how you look at it.
He was able to get that far in life.
Yeah, that's when she still looked a little, I don't know.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888. Let's get back on track. We'll come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. We're talking Giants, 888-808-1019. We'll also work in the Knicks a little bit later on, and Juan Soto as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.